And we were looking and spent some time looking at the Spirit of God's ministry in the light of the Word of God, and having see his outworking in everything, outworking all that Christ has made possible by way of his death on Calvary's cross. And so now, obviously, what would I then do to understand? Now God is outworking everything that Christ made possible on Calvary's cross. What do we call that? God's management. The way God manages what he's created and what he died for. That's called providence. The word providence, to see, the verb to see, and the little word before. To see before. To see something before. Foreknowledge. To have knowledge. The word provision. To provide. Provision. God makes wonderful provision because he sees it all ahead in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God is outworking his wonderful will in this wonderful way. That's what he's doing, provision. And so we're looking at that. So, a little bit, it's a great subject, and not too many people think about it or really understand. Why did the plane crash? Why did the little kid fall down the well and they were able to save him? Someone else, something else. All kinds of things happen all over the world right now. Why? How come? So, Genesis. And in chapter 1, and you would remember, if you would, that God, in chapter 1, does his wonderful creative work in 6 days. And when he's done doing all of his created work, everything is set on planet Earth. Everything is set in the heavens. So when we come to the end of chapter 1, as you would note, verse 31, and God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Not just good, very good. You remember when we did Genesis 55 years ago, you remember. Something, just kidding. Could have been really. So, very good. Not just good, very good. Everything is wonderfully good. So that, when we come to chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. So, having made everything like the God that he does, the cook made all the meal, the painter had everything in order, and all of it was finished. Everything was done to make it all come out very good. Everything from the heavens to the plants to the animals, dinosaurs and everything else. Everything is good. And humans were there, chapter 1, and you noticed in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. That's the word to rule, to run you're to manage, to rule, run the, I created it all. Now you're the manager to outwork all of it. Take care of everything. Dominion and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so the wonderment of all that, as you would think of, Think of how we think dinosaurs and stuff were, prontosauruses or something. Think of all of them. Those aren't little things. Those are big things. Sea monsters, as it were. Everything. God made them. Made them all. Now, and they were to the boss to run it. And everything's very good. What, you can go right down, multiply children, many, many people on planet Earth, etc. And all of it is very good. And chapter 2, as we read in verse 1 and 2, etc. And everything God made, verse 3, on the seventh day he rested. It was all set, start, push the button, start the program. And everything's good. So that's what, and we did all these things. So when we did the book of Hebrews, you remember, in chapter 4, it's all about, and God rested on the seventh day. It's all about what? That the believer, and now, having sin come along, the believer is to what? Enjoy. God took us from evil. God took us to the good. They outwork the good that God planned before the foundation of the world. And thus, putting that together, Hebrews 4, the believer is to know and outwork God's wonderful plan that he had for each believer. Now, and now, kind of add, you know, all these things. Revelation 13 and 8 and then. The Lamb slain, Christ died on the cross. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for every single person ever to be born. He paid the penalty. Now, having paid the penalty and having done that, so what are we going to do? So God had a wonderful plan. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. God has a wonderful plan. If sin hadn't come along, you and I would be born and everything would be good. Now, how can we get that back? When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God puts you back in to the plan. We know what? Ephesians 2:10. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God has a wonderful plan for your life. That plan, before the foundation of the earth, Christ died on the cross to make that plan real and right. He died on the cross to make it all come out good. So now, what are we doing? We're outworking as a believer. We're to be outworking God's wonderful good plan that he had for me and you before we were ever created. And that God saved me to be in that movement, to outwork all of that good, all that God meant us to be, why he created us and died for us. All of that comes to pass. He rested on the seventh day, and sin came along and loused it all up. But God knew that. God knew that. So, how do you know God knows that? Because before he ever created anything, he determined to go to the cross, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He already, before he ever did, he knew he would be the solution to the whole wonderful plan of creation that he was doing for his honor and his glory. He already had it, so therefore he proceeded. So, everything's for good. The devil comes along. The devil's not in good shape, to say the least. And the devil comes along, and Adam and Eve, having been given the wonderful privilege of being masters, rulers of the earth, fish, bugs, birds and everything. Having such an assignment, the devil comes along in chapter 3, as you know. And what was the movement? To get them from good, to get them from God. You got to get God out of the picture. You're looking at God in the wrong way. God wants to do a wonderful thing in your life, and he created you for it. So therefore, the test comes along. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, chapter 2, verse 17. So when we come to chapter 3 and verse 5, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then the eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Remember, there's no gods yet. There aren't any gods yet. So, and that's the word Elohim in the beginning, God. That's the same word, plural. But it's the idea is this, to get you to understand. And ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now God knows good. Adam and Eve know good. They're to enjoy the good. But, and having that awesome awareness of reality that they had, perfect, good, innocent, just in head, I can't even imagine it. And neither can you, I'm sure. Imagine what they had in their mind, what their mind could do. Think what your mind does now. And Einstein said, what, years ago, you only use 2% of your brain. I don't know how he knows that, but he did. You only use 2%. That means 98% of it you never use. That's like the thing we used the other day, the island. The island. You're conscious of the 2%. The island. We live, everything is the island. But the island is sitting on this massive land underneath, as it were. And that's your subconscious, your ego, your part you don't know. And it's just as real, but you just never use it. You never think about it. It's down there. You just stay on top and do what you do in the thing that you're aware of and understand. So, I don't want to get sidetracked. So in the process, Adam and Eve did what? They sinned. And when they sinned, they would know good and evil. The trouble is, the good was gone. Oh, they knew it. But the evil was present. And we shared all these things a little bit last time. So the evil is there. Evil, bad, worthlessness, uselessness, nothingness. The absence of good, the absence of God is evil. It's missing. It's missing. So we don't have that. So we're left with that. We know God, the good, but we don't enjoy it because we chose evil. And God made a choice because, as you know, angels had to have choice. Humans have to have choice, have to have it. God created, otherwise we'd be robots, etc. So God gave us choice. We have choice. And the trouble is, we know evil. Evil prevails. It prevails and dominates. It robs us of the good. Evil re-robs us of the good. And we don't have the good. We don't have God. That's what spiritual death is, the absence of God, the absence of life, the Spirit of God's missing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so the evil is there, and the evil stays prominent. It doesn't disappear. It stays there. Man and God has a wonderful plan, Genesis 3:15, to save them. Adam and Eve got saved, Abel got saved, Cain did not get saved. And the people did not get saved. And therefore, as they proceeded, we have evil and the bad, all of that, which is no good. So when we came to chapter 8 and all of the chapter, you can turn the page, just to turn the page, as you know. And one day, you'll turn the page in your heart and just know. You just turn the pages. Just turn the pages. I got the pages. Chapter 8. And in verse 21, after the Genesis flood, and the Lord smelt a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again cause the ground curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For reason, the imagination, the thought process of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. In other words, it didn't do any good. It didn't do any good because after we judged all the people in the Genesis flood, and we just have 8 people left, and all of them got an old nature. All of them got an old nature. And they go from bad to worse. It didn't do any good. So I'm not going to do that again. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. So forget that. Now, hang on. That's where dispensations comes in. God, it didn't work. No, it didn't work. Not that God, of course, knew that. And so, chapter 11, as you know, and the people did what they did. The old nature, being what it is repeated. And they built a tower and a city. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and in doing it, remember evil. And we're going to have to go do that a little different way. Let me do this part, just to follow history to see it. In the Garden of Eden, innocency, they had wonderful, we just did that a little bit. So they had everything. When they chose to disobey God, they lost everything. They lost it all. And all they've got left is a godless existence, without good, without God, dead in trespasses and sin. They're disconnected. They got the light bulb, but no light, no power. It's all gone. They're created in his image and likeness, but they can't enjoy it or ever experience it because they're dead. Now, so therefore, innocence. Now, what a Genesis flood we just mentioned. And the Genesis flood comes along conscious during Genesis 6, and they have a conscious. There's no religion. There's no government in Genesis 6. The people just live, and they live for so many years and multiply in such a huge number. And they just live without religion, without God, and without politics, I should say. They just live. That's Genesis 6. After Genesis 6, they're living, only this time they add. And after Genesis 6 after conscience, Genesis 6, comes human government. And human government comes along, Genesis 11, and chapter 10 of Genesis. And human government is what? You govern yourself. You govern yourself. You have a conscience and govern yourself. Now, so therefore they have, what do you mean govern yourself? Well, all right, let's govern ourselves. So what do we need? We need a relationship to God. They built a tower, religion. We need to be able to work among ourselves, politics, We have a city and a tower. You want us to run it? We run it. Human government. And we go down the corridor of time to where, as we are to here, moving through history. So having human government, and that keeps going all the way to the end of the tribulation, to human government when God terminates it. But we're living in it. The image of the beast, Daniel chapter 2, the image of man, chapter 7, Daniel, the image of the beast. Human government went down the corridor without God. We don't need God. So, and therefore, we go to human government, and God makes raises up nations, human government, Genesis 11. God scatters them, Genesis 10. They become many nations, Genesis chapter 10. And the many nations are there having government and religion. And now having government and religion, then God has to raise up another witness, because remember, he died for them. He creates them. He has them all in his wonderful mind and heart, and he has to bring them all out all the way to the end of the millennium. And therefore, here they come. And in human government, and God raises up Abraham to become the nation of Israel. And that's a promise, by promise. God makes a wonderful promise to Abraham, Genesis 17, which Abrahamic covenant, and God makes a wonderful promise to Abraham and raise up a nation, which he did. And God gave 430 years in Egypt to raise up Israel. And then he had them at Mount Sinai, and they were introduced to God. So when we come, human government, then we come along, and God made a promise to Abraham. That never goes away. Human government stays. The promise stays. Now, Israel was to be a nation, Deuteronomy 4, to be a nation to all the nations, to be a light to all the nations in the dark, that light would tell all these other lights they need to be just like that. They need to have God to be worshipped, and God is to govern. God is to be worshipped, and he's the government. It's his rule. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so in Genesis chapter, Exodus 8, 19, and God gave them to be a special people above all the people of the earth, to be the nation, light, to tell all the other lights they need to light up. Now, so here they are, and God made the promise, and God gives the promise at Mount Sinai. He gives them a wonderful promise during that time, and all they had to do was believe. But they didn't believe. All that you say God will do. So therefore what happens? So there's a promise. God tells you the promise. Just believe me. I've already made you the nation. You have to believe like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they don't do that. They don't. The flesh back off. So each time as you go down, God is going to show your conscience. He's going to show if you had everything in order, when you have a don't in order. In other words, every kind of condition that a human could have to say before they could, that they could blame God, accuse God of not giving them opportunity. God, if you just gave me 100 more years, if you gave me 100 more seconds, you have all the things. God said, I gave you everything in a complete package to all human beings from Genesis to Revelation. I gave the same package. I died for them all to get saved. They choose not to get saved. Foreknowledge. I already know everything. There's nothing I don't know. Everything is known in forever, all at once. So now, having said that to God, here's the promise. God gives the law. The law comes along. The law isn't going to save anybody. The law isn't meant to save anybody. The law is meant to be a jailer, to be a schoolmaster for Israel, to harness, a jail is a good word, to take Israel and box them in by diet, by clothing, by all of it, to be a testimony. They need to get saved, but they're trying to do it. But God's showing that by their lifestyle, He's showing the nations that God is present in the tabernacle, smack dab in the middle of the 12 tribes. So now, having said that, the law comes along, and the law, of course, fails. And Christ comes, and He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And therefore we come into the great time of grace, and a time of grace into the place where we're going to be in a bit here. And in the process, God raises up the law, Christ dies on the cross, He's going to show His grace. That means nothing from anybody, everything from God. Nothing from anybody. No works, not by works of righteousness. Everything of God to save you. Don't have to do anything. Just believe. You can't ask for more than that. What can we do to work the works of God? Just believe me. That's all. That's where we are. And then the tribulation comes along, great time of wrath in the kingdom, etc. In the kingdom, 1,000 years, not 500, 1,000 years, when you have perfect conditions. And 1,000 years, and if you behave yourself, you'll last the whole time. But when the end comes, as you know, Revelation 20, they're going to rebel. The devil is let loose. He's been bound. The devil come. No offense to the devil. No offense. I respect you. Now, but just the devil himself is able to deceive the whole world. And as the sand of the sea, they rebel. Sand, thousands and thousands and thousands, because no one's died 1,000 years. As the sand of the sea, they rebel. God will have given every kind of situation in every kind of way to save. And all ways, all conditions, the human heart is what it is. And the human heart is evil. It doesn't want God under any condition. So therefore we come looking at our world and keeping our world in mind, and here we are going down the corridor, the image of man, Daniel chapter 2, and the image of man is actually an image of a wild beast, and the mankind is at the center, mankind, and the devil's seeking to get, using religion, and religion, jumping, from religion, where did the religion, and why do we have religion? Because Adam and Eve sacrificed, took the coats of skin that God sacrificed. Abel slew an animal, a lamb, using a lamb. He slew it. God, He wanted sacrifice. Cain is offended because of that. So there's none. But after the Genesis flood, after the Tower of Babel, what are we now doing? We're now doing what? God. We're leaving God out. We're going to go and we become religious because we recognize we aren't God and we need to answer to God. But we don't want to answer to God who is God. So we're going to create our gods. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to go and be religious. And we're going to have all our different religions in different ways. What does our religious God, and they had him all the way into the Middle Ages. What are people to each nation, the Philistines and the Jebusites, Hivites, what do they all do? They all have God. What did the Roman Empire? Gods. Gods. The people looked to the gods, sacrificed to their gods, and they had your God, my God goes against your God. And we look to our God to beat your God. And then we go to war, and we do what we do. That's what we do. We do that. And it was just, you can't read history. It's all about it. It's about God's religion. And we add to it. How do we get our God to be answered? Well, how did God tell Adam and Eve and Abel? You have to have sacrifice. Genesis 3:15, the Lamb of God must go to the cross and die. Okay? Well, we don't have that. We aren't looking for a savior. Nope, we're gonna, but gods, as we know them, as we understand them, gods as we know them, and think about them, that's why we built the tower, to get close to the heavens, astrology and the stars and the gods and the demons. That's what we did. And the devil and the demons took advantage of it. And so here we are doing what we do. And as we do that, we know, what do we know? We know you need sacrifice. We need to show that we're devoted. Abel slew and a lamb, slew an animal. And so therefore, what are we going to do? Well, we don't want you, God, going to the cross. We don't believe. We're going to go and have human sacrifice, even to children. And that's what we do. The Incas, the Mayas, the Aztecs, line them up. Line them up. We go and sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Why? Well, we aren't going to do God's sacrifice. We reject that. We're going to give our sacrifices and hope that the gods will smile on us and bless us. Now, so having said that, keeping that in mind. So as you go down now, move through history, that keeps diminishing. All of that power and demons and gods, worshiping the gods, we don't find that too much. No. We're down the end. So when you come to the 1800, you're jumping into that, 1850 in there, and what do we know? Well, there's Karl Marx. And Karl Marx, guess what? He gets into socialism and communism. At the same time, here is Charles Darwin, at the same time, with evolution. Now you put communism, socialism and evolution, they complement each other. They complement each other. And here they are, two of them, same time in history. And that's where we got communism, socialism, Marxism. We got it. We got it. And that's it. So what happened to the gods? Well, we've advanced. We've advanced. And in the process, so here's our evolution, socialism, etc. And we have Islam and the Mahdi, the Messiah coming to make the whole world Muslim, to believe in the Mahdi. And we got to go and do all this. So we're doing it. So here's all of that: communism, socialism, Islam, all of it, all of different things. The gods, disappeared a little bit. And we have this. And we have it big time, big time, big time. They're aggressive. Wow, are they aggressive, Muslims in that. In this country, in all countries, France, all of it. Big England, England, you know these better than I do. Big time. But change, change. So, and then we have that. Have that. Why is that? Well, God, where's the good? No, it's evil. Busy, evil being very, very busy on planet Earth. And say, God, why do these things happen? God said, take a look at your life and your world. Where's the good? What do you believe? And they say, I'm a very good Protestant, Catholic, Islamic. I do good, I care. But I reject Jesus Christ. I reject God, your plan of salvation. I reject your son. And so no matter how nice you are, you're unsaved and you're lost. Right? No matter how you do it, you're lost. Because you reject. That's the whole thing. We're going to think we're good enough, etc. And you're going to jump ahead, you know all this stuff. Just think about all this stuff. It's so easy. So easy. In darkness, what do you expect out of darkness? What do you expect if you go in the sewer? Do you expect to come up with a lobster dinner nice and clean or something? No, you don't. No, you don't. You're in the sewer. You're in the sewer. What do you want? Isn't it amazing? Anything's in the sewer that looks good. So therefore, having said that, and now add on top of that, as we advance, the image in Daniel chapter 2, the image of same image, chapter 7, about being a wild beast. Bad, bad, bad. So where are you taking us, Mr. Devil? Where's the Antichrist coming? He's coming. Religions put aside. In fact, Revelation 17, he's going to take care of all religion. All religion is going to put him into, help him to get to power. And then he's going to turn around and eliminate all religion and worship him only. It's about a man. The man, Christ Jesus, is now being replaced by the man, the Antichrist. And who's going to get the worship? The devil is. That's the whole plan. That's the whole ball game. So, as you go down, so you aren't going to be surprised. Not surprised at anything as it goes down here. Down, so Satan, sin, the Mahdi, the Messiah, religion, systems, all of that is there in all of its awesomeness. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, because I'm just sort of wondering a little bit, you know, this isn't very systematic for you. I'm just trying to see it. I'm looking out the window. This is the way it is. It's pretty obvious. It's amazing anything is good. Anything. So, and we have freedom to choose. Everyone has freedom to choose. You can choose right, you can choose wrong. You can choose good, you can choose bad. And how and why God does things, and why God does things, I must be left to God to do the right thing in the right way. And so he does so in his providence, in his all-knowing and all-seeing. With going back to Abraham, when he tells us about Abraham, God said, I chose Abraham because I knew, and this Abraham's not there yet, Abraham's going down the corridor. But God said, as Abraham goes down the corridor, I know he will honor me all the way to the end. Genesis chapter 22, Isaac is given the son of the promise. Are you going to really follow? Does Abraham follow through? God, did you see it right? I did. because Abraham was willing, as we shared last time, to offer his son. And I was about to kill him. And God said, I know now that you fear me. And God provided a lamb. And we used to sing that hymn, you know. And and God provided a lamb. And it is marching down. And God provided a lamb. And God provided a lamb. Wow. Anyway, that's great. I can't sing, so I can sing. I'd sing it for you. It's wonderful. Yeah, I love it. God provided a lamb. Yeah, he did. He did. Now, yes, now having said that, so God's doing what he's doing, and he provides, and he's trying to work out the good. And you know from Romans 8:28 and all that, all things work together for good, Romans 8:28, to them that love God and look to honor his purpose. So what are we doing? God's going to make it. When God saves us, we've got an old nature. We've got a problem with our old nature because it doesn't go away. You get sick, trouble, pain, headache, headache and everything else. You get it all. You get it. Sure you do. You got it. You got an old nature. But God has done a wonderful thing to save you. You'll pick that up in the morning if the Lord tarries, I hope. Now, get that. Now, so here's the, God provides. And God doesn't need to explain himself. He never needs to explain himself. He never needs to be justified. You know, what he does is always right. It's always right. Sorry, how could God let that happen? Little kids died even, got shot. Yeah, but God knows. God knows. God knows the nth degree about the little kid. God knows whether he was too young, and God takes him before he knows good or bad. God takes him home. So he never rejected Christ. He didn't live long enough to say no to God. And God keeps him. And other people know, and other kids know, people know, if they've already rejected. No, I don't want to get saved. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be saved. I don't want to be saved. I don't want to be. I don't want to believe. Okay, you don't have to believe. You have free choice. You don't want to believe. So therefore God goes in his wonderful way to do what he does as only he can do it. Now, and so having said that and keeping that in mind, all things, so God, everything at all times is subject to God. Wind, the weather, animals, birds, bugs, bees, everything in all of creation, like Job said, God is a command. All of it is under the rule and in the foreknowledge of God. Everything is there in order. So, you and I have not got to the next hour, but God is already there. We haven't got there, but God is already in the next hour, waiting. He already knows, and we're going to discover in the next hour, as we live the next hour, what God already knows and what God is going to do. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, and so therefore all humanity is free to say yes and no to God. No one can get you. Remember we shared that. The only one that louses up our life is ourselves. No one else can louse it up. Just you and I. Because no one in here is where you live. And you call the shots. You can torture and do whatever you want. But I have the right to choose, and I choose. I reject all of it, or I receive it, one or the other. So therefore, I'm my worst enemy, so I can't blame any. I blame the people that they persecute me. Well, that doesn't make you unsaved. They hate me. That doesn't mean. I have a lot of problems. They don't keep you from being unsaved. They don't keep you from God's grace at all. You have to trust God. Hang on now. So therefore, as we look to God to outwork his wonderful will in his wonderful way, as we're going to go and function, and God always, always, always understands the problem, as we shared, God is always reasonable. God is always right. God always is right and reasonable. He's never unreasonable. We think he is. He is not. He knows. Well, you haven't turned to your Bible. Wow. 1 Corinthians. Wow. 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 10. I think chapter 10. 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 10, and, if I may, First Kings, chapter 10, and verse 13. About verse 12, you need a little background. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Because all the people in the Old Testament, well, they didn't think they'd be in trouble, but they were in trouble. So God, don't be so huffy and puffy that you think you're good enough to withstand and be different. Don't do that. You're just an average human, and you're going to do whatever other humans do. Wherefore, take heed. Take heed. I'm going to be able to stand up. Stay on your knees. Remember we shared those things many years ago. What was that? When you climb the mountain heights and you get to the top of the mountain, stay on your knees. Don't stand up. Get down on your knees to be able to stay there. You're trying to stand on the mountain. When you get on your knees, that you've got that high. And now, so therefore, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, trial, test, trouble. There hath no taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is, in other words, everyone else, don't say, I've had people say to me, no one ever had what I had. Boy, that's pretty good, you know. Someone's already got what you had. You got it. There's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes. Verse 13. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, tried above that ye are able, but with the temptation, test, trial, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God will get you through it. He'll either take you through it, keep you through it, or remove it. God will do it. God knows. God knows what our weaknesses and our littleness. And God knows you don't have to be Superman to do something. You just have to be trusting God. And you do what you can do. And you can't lift what you can't lift. And trust God. That's what you do. Otherwise, you lifted everything. Wow. See, I could say that. I could lift. I couldn't do that today. I couldn't do that. No. But it isn't our strength and lifting. It isn't our power. We have to trust God. Back to what we started with. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And everything was very good. God rested on the seventh day for all that he would be in your life. Evil came along and we're born dead in sin. But the plan of God never disappeared. And so when you believe, God tells you to believe. Why are you believing? To get into the plan, to get into the program. You got to believe. You're out of the program. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to get into the program, you see. So, and God is able to do that in the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. And keep in mind, we're free, but bound by earthly things, earthly laws. We're bound to them. We can't overcome the law of gravity. We can't do all kinds of things. They're the laws. The laws are always valid. How do you overcome gravity? By aerodynamics, and a plane can fly. That's what you do. You can't break the laws. You have to go by the laws. And the laws are all there. So we're bound by the laws. We're bound by Satan's influence. We're all caught up in this. The world, Satan's the god of this world, the prince of the ruler of the power of the air. He's the boss of the system. All the dumb nations, the image of man, etc. He's the boss. And we're subject to the worldly powers and the government. We just had an election, and you're subject to that. Whatever the system is going to do, you're going to have to be in it. And so if we're going to have a grocery store, communist kind, there's only one jar of peanut butter and only three different kinds of bread. That's all you get. You want system? Whatever the system is, you're bound to it. You voted, people vote for it. You live in the system, whatever you do. So you're bound by the system, you're bound by the devil, and you're bound by the laws of gravity from a negative standpoint, as it were, but not negative, but on planet Earth. And so therefore I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. I'm just looking at life as it is. So you don't get thrown. Oh, it couldn't have happened. Oh, yes, it did. It isn't good, but it does happen. It does. And people, friends, neighbors, family, they know what they should be. Everyone has their choice. They're either choosing to go in the right direction or they're not. That's up to them. And you say, no. God's looking. God wants them saved. I gotta quit. Thank you.